Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We're down to 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Starts. Yes!
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
What a move by Starks!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Fan, what's going on, everybody? It is the Teak and Tierney show here on The Fan. A little old in, Teak. What are you serving up today, buddy?
I'm all in on the Knicks, and I want to contradict myself as I'm speaking, so just don't call me out on it, BT.
Okay.
There's really one team that I think the Knicks would struggle with. That's the Milwaukee Bucks. They have a championship pedigree. They're getting healthy. Drew Holiday's a stud. Obviously, Giannis is fantastic. But the Knicks, who are sitting in the 5 seed right now, and if they had played the way that they played all season long, this last month and a half, 2 months, all season long, then they would be in the conversation to maybe win a championship. We'd have that kind of confidence. But I'm all in on the Knicks being exactly where they're supposed to be. I know they're likely locked in the 5 seeds of the 4-5 matchup against Cleveland. Seems like it's imperative that they should win that one, and they'll go to the next round, and then you just keep growing. Even if they don't, I think the foundation that they've built has been utterly fantastic. It's more than we could have expected, given how the season started and given how we feel about Tom Thibodeau. Like, we're not having these questions anymore. We're not talking about some of these players being bust and we got to get rid of this guy or that guy. They have started to build the foundation that's buildable upon, and I believe that regardless of what's happening with this Knicks team, over the rest of this season, I think that they've accomplished a ton, absolute ton.
Yep. All right. There was just a little feedback there. There was like something else, another show. I don't know what it was. Bleeding in. Just want to make sure that's rectified. Thanks, guys. All right, Teak. Good job. I'm going to roll with the Knicks here as well, and I'm all in on the fact that if they don't win a first-round series, that this season has been a colossal disappointment. It flat out's a failure. I'm sorry. You know, there's only so many ways that you can continue to slowly and incrementally build something without there being a need to eventually see you punch through. Like, you know, when you're a doormat of a program, or whether it's college basketball or the NBA, you got to fix this. Drive me. I can't do a show like this. This stuff. I can't even think right now. But I think that when you look at, let me just turn, I'll turn it down. When you look at where the Knicks are, they're past that point of being a cute little story. And, you know, maybe try to do a little something, give the city a little jolt, just keep us interested to baseball season. Now, they're past that, guys. They have made a great late season addition in Josh Hart, who's all about winning and all about clutchness. He's going to play when it matters. And you've got two legitimate big-time players in Brunson and Randall. And you've got a guy in the middle who could rebound, a guy who could run and block shots and score at the rim on the oops, make it easy. I mean, they got a lot going for them. So you could be a little afraid of maybe pushing too strongly, expecting from the Knicks. I'm not, because I have that kind of confidence in this team and what they could do. It's go time.
Let me ask you something, BT, because we'll get the phones and we'll get this audio issue that we have going on worked out here in a second. But I was, before we got into All In, I wanted to go through the standings and say this team or these two or three teams are supposed to win the NBA title this year. You know how we do that? We do it with the Kansas City Chiefs. We do it with the Philadelphia Eagles last year, who felt like they were beyond reproach. We've done it with I don't know, the Lakers and, you know, when they were at their height, or the Golden State Warriors. Yep. This team is supposed to win the NBA title. I almost wanted to go all in and say, this team is supposed to win the NBA title, so the Knicks, you know, I don't expect them to be X, Y, Z. But as I look at the teams that are here, other than Milwaukee, and it's a, and could they be Milwaukee? Yeah. I mean, who knows? Anything could happen, especially if they're hot and they get coached right in that situation. Philadelphia, not scared of. And I think that's more the issue. What's the team that I'm scared of? Philadelphia, I'm not scared of. Boston, definitely not scared of. Cleveland, not scared of. Brooklyn and behind the Knicks in the East, nobody I'm scared of. Maybe I'm a little bit nervous about Milwaukee. Go to the West. Denver.
Just beat them twice this year, two out of two.
Exactly. We can beat Kings, same.
I don't know if we match up great with them, but I hear you. Kings are a little tough.
Memphis is in turmoil.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think Ja comes back for the postseason, but what, they're in turmoil right now. The Suns, they're good, and I think KD makes them significantly better, but they're just five games over 500. Like, not, they're not much better off than the Knicks are right now. The Clippers, not scared of. Dallas, I'm not either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is the team that you're saying this is supposed to win? And so in that case,
well, that's why I'm excited.
You kind of start saying, well, why not the Knicks?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Finally, here we go. All right. That's what I've been saying. I mean, it's one thing to evaluate a team through the prism of their conference. And listen, a lot of time that obviously has merit, right? But to look at the Knicks and compare them to all of the teams in the NBA. I'm not saying the number one, not saying the number two, not even saying the number three. There's nobody that can tell me the Knicks, when healthy, aren't a top 6-7 team in the NBA.
Yeah, there's not
a team. You can't do that.
There's not a team. So, for instance, if they were playing the Golden State Warriors, like, in their height, we would say, the Golden State Warriors are sweeping the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
They have no shot.
Or Kobe and Shaq.
Or some team like that.
Yeah, 100%.
There's no team that I'm saying,
nope,
this team is sweeping the Knicks, and there's not even a question about
it. If they play let's just push this forward to the Bucks, because that's the one team that we both agree.
Yeah.
That's where you give a little genuflection. It's a little different matchup. You show them respect. If they play them in a long series, they're going to beat them twice at the Garden.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they're going to beat them twice at the Garden.
No, I don't think they have a chance to win the series, but I think that they take some games.
They're
not getting swept, right? And if you're heading in the right direction, and and that's why I said the complexion of the Cleveland, the 4-5 matchup, the Cleveland and the Knicks, presumably the first playoff series, unless something crazy happens. It's how it looks is going to matter so much for how you feel about the totality of this season.
I know you guys don't care about this. I just want to give a shout out to engineering. Thanks for running in to fix that. I think we got that taken care of. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
You could just blame Bogish. He left the computer on.
Bogish's fault.
Yes.
What did he do?
He left some screen on it and on his computer, and it was bleeding through.
Why would it bleed through the? I could see if it was bleeding through the room, and you could pick it up on the
pod.
The
pod is up.
He
so
plays
it was
his sound through that computer.
I got you. All right, we're getting too inside. Yeah, I got you.
I just wanted to blame Bogish for something.
Yeah,
exactly.
We got you.
No, Dove could easily just pull it down, right?
No, we're done. We're good.
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
That's what we did.
Oh, that's what you did. Wow. You just didn't know you needed to do it.
10 minutes later.
I mean, geez. See, this is why I don't want to belabor it. I mean, we would think that we would hear that. If I didn't point it out, we'd still be hearing it.
Yeah.
I mean.
Hear what?
Nothing.
Let's get Ryan in Breezy Point. What's up, Ryan?
Yeah, BT, you and I spoke probably 3 months ago, and I had asked you what it would take to get St. John's back into the discourse. And it's really fascinating to see how much everyone's interest has peaked in the form of so many callers to your show today regarding this Patino situation. And I think it is going to give the program the jolt it needs to get themselves back into everyone's sports dialogue in this city.
Hey, Ryan, you know what's funny? I said the exact same thing to BT.
That's a good question.
In the second break we took, I was like, man, people are talking about St. John's. I didn't expect it, but when they're relevant, they're interesting.
And look, fellas, there's nothing to debate, right? Like, we all know the guy's resume and why he would make such a good fit at this particular time. I mean, all that's left is to sign the bottom line. BT, I mean, as in terms of New York media members that are close to the program, it's a short list, and I would put you on it and for some time now. I hate to put you on the spot, but is anybody in that building signaling to you that, that this is going to happen today? Because my only concern is the more time that it drags out, the more of the indication is that it probably wouldn't happen. I don't think that we're there yet.
Yeah.
But you even see with Cooley today, the guy's house has been on the market since March 3rd.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw a tweet. I think Rothstein had that.
That's an interesting read, Ryan.
Listen, here's the thing, Ryan. I know what you're saying, and I think in any other situation, it would really apply more. Idle time gives anxious people a chance to cut a check that maybe St. John's just can't or won't match. Yeah. I got that. He don't want to leave.
Yeah.
Don't want to leave.
And by the way, I'm sure he'll move. Maybe he'll move, but maybe he won't.
You mean from Wingfoot?
From Wingfoot.
No, he's not moving.
Exactly. So even if he's the head coach of St. John's,
he's not moving.
Somebody's picking him up at whatever in the morning.
He's not moving.
And driving him out.
Lavin had a driver when he had his place in the city. He's not moving. Not going to have to. I mean, listen.
I mean, if Deion can have, like, two houses and what did they give him? Three cars out at Colorado. I think that was the perks of his contract. I just saw.
I didn't even see that.
I just saw. Okay. Maybe it was one house and a vacation. So whatever it was, but he has cars and stuff, right? That it was part of his contract. Rick Pitino is getting a driver.
Listen, I got an offer. Here's what we'll do for Rick. I'll call up somebody, one of my old buddies that's got a crib in Breezy Point. Hey, Rick, we got a summer. We got the Irish. The Irish Riviera going for you, all right? Even though you're looking for the Italian one. Go down to Breezy. We got your summer home, right? You're good, Rick. Now, Rick is fine. Listen,
I think it's fine without any of those things.
Exactly.
He's making a lot of money for a lot of years.
I had an exchange this morning with somebody that obviously really knows what's going on. I got a thumbs up, but I also got the not done yet. It's not done yet. You guys need to know that. So to Ryan's point, I guess anything can happen. Again, idle time or idle minds can get a little frisky. And there's a lot of schools with a lot of desperate donors who want to be relevant. You never rule any, especially football schools, you never rule it out. But do I think he's the next coach of St. John's? Absolutely, I do. I'd be stunned if he's not. I'll put it that way. Stunned if he's not. 877-337-6666. Scotty's in Manhattan. What's going on, Scott? How are you?
Yeah, guys. The only problem I have, and I'm a diehard Knicks fan, is that when you use that terminology, if we don't win a series, disappointment, and I don't feel that way.
Okay.
Nobody expects us to be where we are today. We're in the right direction. Like, for example, we don't have Embiid or top player or Giannis. So we're headed in the right direction. So I'm just saying this. Let's not get it overboard. Let's just enjoy the ride. I know that nobody wants to play us because it's going to be a hard out.
Well, let me ask you this, Scotty. Let me ask you this, Scott. So you say you don't have an Embiid. They don't. You say you don't have a Giannis. They don't. Answer this. Jalen Brunson is a top what player in the NBA? Top what?
I think he's like, I put him like one of the top guards. I mean, right now.
Well, give me a number. Top what?
Okay. As a guard?
As a player. Just as a player.
As a player, no. I put him up there. I say about 1 to 8.
Well, that's a little thing. I mean,
maybe guards.
No, I think you're missing the
guard.
Point. He's a top what player? Is he top 20 player in the NBA?
Oh, yes.
Okay, is he top 15? That's probably close.
Right.
Probably not, but let's just say 15-ish. Ish.
Right.
Yeah. What's Randall?
Oh, Randall's got to be, Well, he's going to, because a lot of people don't like Randall, so he's not
going to get over him. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Yeah,
he's higher than
okay,
Brunson.
That's my point. How many?
Right, let me ask you,
does Philadelphia have two top 15 players?
No, but they have.
Do the Bucks?
But they have a top three.
They got the top three.
I understand
each of those
that.
Guys. That's the challenge.
I'll tell you a couple teams that have two top 15s. Certainly the Suns with Booker and KD.
But who has won? Just gone deep or won championships without at least a top three recently. Is there one?
Without a top three player?
Without a top three player. I think that's what we're getting at. And again, this is why I'm okay with where the Knicks are, because not that they're overachieving. I think they're right where they're supposed to be. Like, they've built a good foundation. We're not questioning Tom Thibodeau every night. I mean, last year we were questioning his decisions, his
rotations. You wanted to fire. Tiki said fire Tom Thibodeau.
I apologize for that.
Don't run from it.
Can we stop talking about old stuff?
Hey, listen, I say things all the time. You say something like that, I'm going to make it stick,
but
bro.
My point
you
is,
said fire
I'm not
him.
Talking about that anymore. It hasn't even entered my mind that he's not the guy.
Yeah.
Right? And so
I wasn't sold either, but not here.
I mean, nobody was.
No, I understand.
We got a lot of calls that agreed with me.
Yep.
But now we look at this team, and you're not saying that. And yeah, there's not a top three player. And I'm trying to think of a team just off the top of my head that didn't have one that won a championship. There aren't many. But that doesn't mean that the Knicks aren't XYZ situation away from getting that player. And that's when they really start to accelerate. So I think they're in a great spot, regardless of what happens in the postseason. Obviously, it'd be great if they got to the second round, and then they'll likely face the Bucks, right? Depending if we get chalk all the way through.
Yep.
But I love where they are right now. I really do. And they're entertaining, but, and they're fun, and they play it the right way, and they play hard.
But that love dissipates, or the conviction. I mean, I'll always love them. The conviction. Well, dissipates without a first round win.
But here
you can't have two top 15 players and not get out of round
one.
But
here's the difference.
You got to win.
Here's the difference. It's not like the Yankees who are consistently here, right? Get to the postseason, wild card, divisional round, whatever it may be, and then you just always, you always get that.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks are like, damn, we made it.
There's less randomness. There's less randomness in the NBA.
Yeah.
So if the Knicks do in a 7-game series, you know, against the Cavaliers, who they're going to probably play 99%. If there's such a fall off from what they've done all year, then I'm wildly disappointed. But the Yankees, I hate when they lose to the Astros or whomever.
I don't think
whomever,
that's going to happen. I just can't.
No, well, me neither. That's what I'm saying.
I can't see them just reverting to ugliness.
I agree, which is why I'm saying that if they don't win the first round, it's a failure. Mm. You're pretty much saying the same thing without saying it.
Yeah.
If you're saying you don't think they're going to regress.
I'm not saying it's a failure.
Okay.
Because I think they've built a foundation that's sustainable. And if they go mess around for however they happen to do it with their 50,000 picks, or they just draft a guy, because it's all a crapshoot anymore in the draft with all these damn freshmen and international players and G League elite dudes, right? Maybe they draft a guy who becomes Giannis. You never know.
I know.
Yeah, Giannis wasn't like the guy.
I understand.
He grew into that guy.
Neither was Brunson, second round pick. It's true. A couple of those stories, though. Not many, but a few. Joe's not feeling it. Joe's in Wilson Park on the Knicks. What up, Joe? How you doing today?
Don't be a hater.
Hater race.
I'm going to try not to be a hater. I've loved watching this team this year. I want to buy into what they could be based on what they've done. I cannot get the image of Randall's playoffs from 2 years ago and Randall taking that team down last year the way that he did out of my head. And then expect them to do anything.
But does he feel anything like that? But Joe, does he feel anything like that this year?
He didn't feel like that the last time going into the playoffs. What happened to him? That year he went to the playoffs.
Well, he had nothing around him.
Well, they didn't have a ton around him. I mean, DeAndre Hunter just destroyed him. They rotated to. I mean, they had no shot.
None.
They had no shot against Atlanta. You know, Clint Capella was always in the paint and. Obviously, Julius loves to get into the paint, and he's standing down there, and Capella's just like, all right, what are you doing? I'm going to Dikembe you every time you slow turn into the, turn into the paint. And so they didn't have many options.
Hawks were superior, vastly superior.
They really were. And younger and athletic and just – and for what – you said this that year, actually. I remember this. This Knicks team is not athletic.
No,
they weren't. They were interesting, and it was exciting. Oh, we're here.
I had a great time. But
they were not athletic at all.
They were.
So when you get a young team full of, second, third-year college stars, and, Capella had been there for a few years, and he developed into one of the rim runners, got a big contract off of that, too, even though he hasn't done anything recently. But they didn't have a shot. This year, they'll have a shot, at least.
All right, I agree, and I think that they'll punch through. Round two, we'll get there when we have to get there. I'd be stunned that they don't advance round one, and I'd be so disappointed. 877-337-6666. Coming up next, we'll give you a chance to win Yankee tickets. We'll get you that. Hey, guess who's coming to studio in a little bit? Gaten Matarazzo. Tiki loves this kid. Now, I admit, I have not been a Stranger Things consumer, which is my bad, I know. I'm the loser when it comes. I get it. Certain shows, I get it. I haven't seen it. It's my bad. Awful. But the kid's a stud. And his dad's a great guy. Calls the show. He's a big Jets fan. So he's going to be in the studio with us in a little bit. We'll get to that. Now batting left fielder Aaron Hicks.
Is he booed?
I don't think he's starting.
But if he does.
It doesn't matter. Everybody gets introed. He's absolutely getting booed. And he's getting booed vociferously. Let me tell you something. If Aaron Judge heard the remnants of boos, but they were audible. We were there.
No, yeah.
Last year, just because of the divulging of him not accepting the contract terms, Aaron Hicks is going to get booed beyond recognition. Whether he's a starter or a reserve, it's not going to matter.
What are the chances, BT, that the Knicks, I got Knicks on my brain.
That's part of the show today.
What are the chances that the Yankees do what we're all speculating about, which is...
The three, go ahead. You talk about what I think you are? Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so Donaldson's obviously an issue.
Uh-huh.
He hasn't been hitting much in the spring. He's a real vet, like a long-term vet. He's had unbelievable success at points in his career. So I'm not overly worried about his spring, but given last year...
It's compounded a little bit.
Yep. So I think he actually plays. But the Hicks thing is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And I agree.
And, you know, the shortstop, IKF, of Peraza, Volpe, I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah, well, you can take IKF out of it. He's not playing short.
Yeah, I know. So what are the chances that all of these conversations about these young players... I mean, hell, I'd rather start Cabrera in left field, to be honest with you. So what are the chances that that happens? Right? That all
you meaning DFAing certain people?
Yes.
They're not going to DFA Donaldson. Too much money.
And
he's getting too much of an asset with his leather. Listen, I think Hicks gets maybe 2-3 weeks to get off the runway.
Mm-hmm.
If he is as disjointed and as broken as he's been in the spring, they're going to have to DFA him. They're just going to have to, and they will. I don't think that he will languish. I don't think we'll be sitting here in June and he's hitting 190 and he's butchering balls and people calling us and you and I shouting and ranting and why is he still playing? That's not going to have a long shelf life.
Which we did for 2 months last year, I felt like.
Yep. That'll resolve itself fast. You know, the shortstop, I think the Yankees open. I'm going to give you the right deal on it.
You got to go Volpe.
I don't know that they're going to, though.
I know the argument against it. It rings hollow to me.
Oh, I agree.
It's not convincing. The argument is not, I don't know, my bats in AAA. That's not convincing.
I know it's not. I know. Service time. I'll give you two things, and I can do them both fast. What I would do or what I think they will do. Which one would like you first?
Give me what you would do.
What I would do is...
GM Skip. Okay. GM / Skip.
Oh, that's a good title. Adding some things on the resume.
Pay me doubly.
A lot more successful than I am now currently. I like this quick ascension. Resort first.
Obvious.
I'm going to go Torres. What I would do. Rizzo at first, Torres at second, Volpe at short, DJ at third, Cabrera at left. Yeah. Cabrera in left. You know what?
This is where it gets hard.
Well, I'm going to, for opening day, you're only going to get 30, 40 games out of Stanton in the outfield. Do you want to shove him out there when it's 49 degrees? I'm going to say Cabrera in left.
I wouldn't mind that.
I'm going to say Cabrera. I'm going to stun you with this
one. Go ahead.
Cabrera in left, IKF in center, and Judge in right. That's the lineup that I would do. Now I'll tell you what I think they'll do.
Stanton DH, obviously.
Yeah. Rizzo at first.
Cole on the hill.
Torres at second.
This is what you think they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Peraza at short.
Mm-hmm.
DJ at third.
Mm.
Cabrera. Judge in center.
Stanton.
No. Maybe Calhoun or something.
Oh, I got
Just on opening day.
And keep Stanton at DH.
And Stanton at DH, yeah. And Hicks is just drilled to the bench. You Scotch guard him, you Gorilla Glue him,
you
staple him.
I don't necessarily
leave the bench, dude.
I don't necessarily object to either one of those.
I hear you. That's
really
why I'm the GM and the that's why I'm in charge here. I give you multiple options. Both you like.
Yeah.
Now
Volpe, if he's up or he's down.
Well, if he's not starting, he's down.
Yeah.
You know, again, it makes no sense to.
But it's bad as big, not have, man.
Not, that's why I'm starting him at short.
Yeah.
I said what I think they'll do and what. Now, I still think that there is a chance that they will play him at short. You know, I want to see him have another game or two where he really sparks stolen base, mm-hmm. you know, a little thump, you know, double, you know, bang another home run, you know, a multi-hit game. I need one more. I think they need one more of those. They shouldn't because he's shown enough in every aspect of the game. I think they're looking for one more to justify it.
Yeah.
I still think that. Let me put it this way, Teague. I think that they're open to it. I know that they're open to it, but I still feel like they're looking for one more reason just to kick it down the road for a month or so. But yeah. I know that they know that it's a possibility. They might not be able to avoid it.
Yeah, even if for the whole 3 or 4 weeks of the first part of spring training, they're just denying it. Yeah, he's got to get AAA hits. He's got to get AAA at bats. He's got to get some more experience. You at some point, you can't deny what's,
yeah, and
what,
I don't
what
even,
we're seeing.
I don't even think they are denying. I heard, now again, you know, take it for what it's worth, but so we ended on Friday an hour early, and I got a chance to hear John and Susan for the first time of the year, and they had Booney on,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about many things, but they started with that. And I thought Boone was forthright, believable, and I think it mirrors what the Yanks are thinking and maybe what they might do. Let's get Cecil in Franklin Square. What up, Cecil? How are you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure, Cece. What's up, dude?
Hey, just a quick thing. I wanted to ask a question about Mets-Yankees pitching, but I'm a St. John's alumni, so looking forward to what's going to happen next with the basketball.
Oh, man. What year did you get out, Cecil? I want to see something here. What year did you get out?
Actually, I got out in, both degrees, undergrad in 2003 and master's in 2005.
Okay, so
yeah.
You were there right after the Artest Bootsy run. You were there for Jarvis. You were there for the Gonzaga game. Okay, I got you. So
yeah, I was there for the Jarvis and all that fiasco and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I got you. I know exactly what you're talking about. So over the next 16, 17, 18 years, more, yes, 18 years really, your fandom dissipated or are you still all in? I can't imagine you're still all in.
No, not all in. Just watching from the side, waiting for, you know, something exciting to happen. I was going to talk about this, but I like Patino, but I'd like to see someone, you know, that's got a little bit more, not potential, but a little bit more future ahead of him.
A little more longevity. He's going to be 70, right?
Yeah exactly. Yeah. Patino's great. You know, nothing wrong with that. But and I'm not speaking against age or anything like that. But just wanted to. Like a Bobby Hurley or somebody, bring him back to the Northeast from Arizona.
No, hold on.
Yeah.
What's he done?
Bobby's star has diminished a little bit.
Yeah, Danny's different.
Yeah, Danny's like shining right
now. He's a good coach, boy.
And that could be a product of environment. You know, what are you getting in Arizona?
Yeah. Yeah. And look, I mean, the Hurleys are East Coast kids. I mean, they're East Coast guys, really.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Jersey City.
I actually thought
it was. As close as it gets.
I thought it was a good hire. Just Bobby Hurley for a second going out west. Thought he would bring.
So did I.
A kind of like East Coast hustle. Like, I thought he would bring that. He would recruit. He could recruit wherever because his name recruits on the West Coast, even if he's not from there. Obviously, he can recruit on the East Coast. It just hasn't happened.
It has not happened. I thought that he would have more success. And, you know, St. John's almost hired him, you know, a while ago. I mean, I feel like Bobby's coaching star has diminished greatly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you told
me. Because we don't talk about him. We don't talk about Arizona.
Because they don't give us any reason to talk about
him. That's
right. Arizona State. We don't talk about because they haven't done anything.
They haven't done anything.
They really have not. I mean, I look at Danny. If put it this way, if you told me, you know, Danny Hurley, let's fast forward to the end of his coaching career,
mm-hmm.
that Danny Hurley has a national championship or two, but he'll have one, multiple trips to the Final Four, meaning not eight, but like two, and then a handful of Sweet 16s and an Elite Eight or two, no doubt. Mm-hmm. That would not stun me at all. Bobby, I don't see any of that. And I'm not dissing Bobby. I love the Hurley family. Danny's a coaching superstar.
Yep.
Bobby doesn't seem to have the same, you know, that.
Sanchez gets hit. The ball is loose, and it's alive. And then going into the end zone is Steve Gregory.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And it was the backside of Brandon Moore that knocked the ball out.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, Tiki and Tierney, welcome back on The Fan. It's 12:42 on this Monday, so Tiki's been geeking out about this for a while. Everybody's pumped up. The show is, he's done doing a lot of things. But beyond successful, now I've never seen it. Hopefully, Gayton's not mad at me here.
Not at all.
That is pathetic on my
part. Not at all.
I own it, buddy. Gayton Matarazzo is with us in studio. Big sports guy. What's happening, buddy?
I'm good. I'm doing well. Not much at the moment. I live locally, so I'm glad I was able to pop in. My dad's super stoked.
Yeah, your dad, who was supposed to come with you today.
Indeed, my dog
calls
not
us all the time,
well.
But your dog is sick.
I know. It's just like I was so. Last night we were at the Rangers game last night, and we made like a whole day of it. Kept talking about it, was so stoked, and then he just wanted to make sure that the little dude was going to be okay, which is very, very sweet, but he's very disappointed.
So he pushed you into your fandom, your sports fandom?
Yes, very much so. Yeah. I think my drive to try to at least be able to hold a conversation was to have another alley to have something in common with my dad,
but
and
not,
it's been working out.
But not a big Jet fan. You're Mets,
not a huge
Mets
football
Rangers,
fan.
Right?
Mets, yeah, I'm a huge Rangers fan, and I've been able to kind of keep up with the league as a whole, which is like the first time I've ever tried to attempt to do that ever, and it's pretty fun. So it's opening up doors in other leagues, so I'm hoping it grows.
How many games have you gone through so far this year?
Oh, I don't know. I've been to as many as I can. It's hard right now. Most of my evenings are booked with the schedule of the show that I'm mm-hmm. doing, so I only have Sunday nights and Mondays, which are not huge hockey nights usually.
Yeah.
And I got to go last night, and before that, the last one I was at was I think when they played Calgary maybe a month ago, where there was a bunch of fights and lead changes. It was a good game.
Yeah, you're talking about your show, which is Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, I'm doing Sweeney Todd.
You are starring as Tobias.
Yes, indeed.
Right? And Josh Groban is the lead.
He is.
He is Sweeney Todd.
He is Sweeney Todd.
How did this come about? I mean, you were a stage actor before Stranger Things came about, which we'll get to because there's a new season, hopefully, and you'll divulge something,
there is.
I'm sure.
Now we're getting a scoop.
BT will have no idea. We'll
my reps aren't here.
When I bring up a Demogorgon, BT's going to say, what the hell are you talking
about? I got to get into the show. I know I'm missing something. Everybody, I'm a loser. I'll take the L.
So what brought you back to Broadway, and how did Sweeney Todd come about? Because we all know the story. But
sure. Attend the tale. Being on stage is always where I felt the most comfortable. It's where I've done most of my work, actually, outside mm-hmm. of... Because the only thing in TV I really had the opportunity to do was Stranger Things, which was kind of came out of nowhere. But before that, it was... I remember people would ask me if I ever wanted to transition to TV, and I always said no. And I remember I was like 9 years old, this conversation I had with one of my dad's friends, and he said, why? And I said, because on stage you have to get it right the first time. Oh. I was so cocky. And
that would make me go the other way. That's the easy route. I'll take TV.
Yeah.
Take three. Yeah, you already messed up.
Nah,
again.
Fine.
Take
nine. Let's giggle. But it kind of just happened, and I had that. It was like a big transitional. It was a big transition stage because the last show I did, I was like 12 years old, and then I transitioned to TV from there, and that's when your voice changes. Mm. And after you have a big voice change, you kind of have to start from scratch when it comes to singing again. So I think it was a good time to transition because it's really hard for kids in their teens to get work on stage because usually for teenage roles, they just cast 18 and up, so they don't have to cast multiple actors, and there's puberty's a thing. So now that I...
That's what they say.
So the murderous barber of Sweeney Todd, we know, but what's your role? Wait, what's your character's
Toby,
role?
He's a bit hard to describe out of context of the show. He's, I've never, like... He's a weird, weird character to try to figure out, and it's really, really fun to play, but he, starts off as a bit of an assistant to a rival of Sweeney's towards the beginning of the show, and his relationship with Sweeney and Mrs. Lovett, who is Sweeney's partner in crime, kind of grows exponentially as he starts to kind of attempt to figure out what's going on in his surroundings, which aren't very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, we're talking to Gator Matarazzo with us here in studio. You know, young athletes, they see somebody on a screen, they're like, I want to try to emulate Aaron Judge or, you
know, Lindor. Yeah.
So, but who were the actors? Like, what was the show that gave you that bug early, even though it was on stage rather than TV? But what got you into it?
My mom was big into that department. So that's why later on I've tried to cater to my dad a bit more. He tried with the sports, hardcore. He did. Oh, I remember I did all of them. I did soccer. I did baseball. I tried them. And, I was just like, I just want to sing. And my mom was stoked. But I remember she showed me the anniversary concert for Les Miserables, which became like, I wasn't even a theater kid. I was simply spending my time and effort trying to get in that show specifically. And I don't remember really why. It might have just been because I wanted to share the excitement that my mom had about something that felt really, really exciting to me. And it kind of just grew, and I kind of just kept singing. And really, I think if kids start acting most of the time, unless there's like, because there are a lot of parents who push hardcore for their kids to work, and I don't necessarily enjoy watching kids who don't have much passion for it. Like,
it's the same on a baseball field. You feel bad for the kid almost.
If they don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. And that's that was always what my parents were big on. But I always had a love for it, even though it was a bit of an unorthodox move at 7 to try to start working professionally.
But you got that role, right?
Yeah, I did. I got that role eventually. It was like
Gavroche,
the white whale.
Yeah.
Gavroche.
Yeah.
And it was the one that I was in the audition room for like 3 straight years. I had like 7 different auditions for one tour.
Yeah.
And it finally happened on like the last leg of the tour. And then I kind of was just like, all right, I'm good. I don't need to keep doing this. I remember after I finished my run in New York, I was like, I want to take a bit of a break, and because my grades were dropping because I was focused on the show and I wasn't focusing on school. And I'm like, I was going into middle school. It was a big, big step. And so I was like, I'm just going to take a break and focus on school. And then a little show came along that they were like, you might as well audition.
Yeah.
So
until that Stranger Things.
Until Stranger Things.
When you read Stranger Things, I don't even know why I watched it. Because I thought it was a kid's show. When I first clicked on it,
it might be.
I was like, this is a kid's show. Why the hell am I going to watch this? And I did, and I was like immediately hooked.
Because it was
sci-fi. It was, I don't know, all the characters were unique. All of your characters that you got, that you act with are very unique and diverse.
Yeah.
But why did that show click? Why do we all click with it? Especially adults. Man. I'm 47 years old.
Sure. It has like a huge like age range of people that watch it. You know, that's really, really funny to me. It's not common a show has the ability to cater to an incredibly diverse group of people, which is great. We're super stoked about that. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what it was. I think that it drew kids in because kids are in it. And I think it's... not only is it awesome to have kids leading a show, but it's really cool to have younger people lead a show that isn't necessarily geared towards kids,
mm-hmm.
which is really fun. It feels quite authentic. You know what I mean? It
yeah.
feels
like yeah, that is unique. That's unique.
It's different. Yeah. And 12-year-olds are crude as hell and always have been. So it's kind of annoying when, because adults usually write kids' TV. So when you have mm-hmm. like them kind of like showing kids in like their natural habitat,
yeah,
it's pretty fun. And I think it represents a huge portion of people's like childhood, like in one big introduction. It kind of was like a big wave of that nostalgia, which is what brought a lot of other people in.
How have you dealt with the success? I mean, our producer Hoff, he texted us last night. He's like, "Hey, do you mind if I bring my son Nicholas in? He's a huge fan. He can't wait." I'm of course bring
so
him
cute.
In.
He was. I was.
You guys were hanging
best.
Out.
Yeah,
before,
we got.
Right?
To see, I got to see Nicholas before. Is he over there?
He's, he's there on the other side. Like, what is it? Because you grew up normal, and I say normal, like just. Yeah, you didn't grow up in the business.
You
know, your dad's got a bakery, which, by the way, I've munched on way too much already. It's
ridiculous I've brought cookies so and stuff. The cupcakes might still be a little cold. They were in the fridge.
Okay, cupcakes?
Yeah.
Barbara's hoarding some stuff over there. I didn't know about the cupcakes.
They're here. They are cold.
But how do you deal with the fame? I mean, you seem like it's pretty natural to you, but do you like it?
I don't know. Without it, it would be hard to work consistently. So that's something you always have to be grateful for. You know what I mean? There are stresses about it, but I think to sit back and focus on the things you want to complain about would be stupid when it's really hard for... it's such a sought-after career. A lot of people would love to work in the arts and work as actors, performers in general. And it's really, really hard to maintain... a working career in the industry. And because of the show, I think that there will always be doors open to consistently work. And now I have the luxury of being able to look at roles and decide what I'd like to do going forward. That's something that is really rare and something I'll be forever grateful for. And that's what you got to look at and understand that that's what it's for.
Yeah.
And without the people that watch the show, there would be no career. You have to be overwhelmingly grateful for the people that have facilitated what you do. And that's why I'll always love it. I'll always love this show. I'll always love the people that watched it. And I always say that if it's the last thing I ever do professionally, I will be satisfied because it's something that like is for a lot of people really hard to try to be a part of. And a lot of it was luck that I got to be a part of it. So I'm super... super jazzed for sure, but it's still kind of sinking in, I think.
Very humble answer.
I think you're
thank
downplaying.
You, Gady.
You're going to be known for this forever. I mean, seriously. How old were you the first season?
I started filming it right after my 13th birthday.
Your 13th birthday, and you didn't have teeth.
I still struggle.
Yeah, so this is a condition. We'll talk about this briefly.
Sure.
It's called CCD.
Yeah.
Clitocranial?
Clitocranial dysplasia.
Yep, dysplasia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've done some work around it. You've raised awareness.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, for bringing this up. I really appreciate it.
They wrote this, and I bring this up because they wrote it into your character.
Yeah.
Of Stranger Things.
That was cool. Yeah. That was a cool bit. Nobody really expected it to facilitate the organization, which is ultimately what it ended up doing. Because before that, there's not a lot of people who knew really what they had. There was a lot of misdiagnosis and undiagnosis, and most people who had it probably knew, mainly didn't know anybody with it. And if they did, it might have been one or two that they met in passing.
Yeah.
Because it's a pretty rare
condition. I never heard of it until we got the one sheet.
A lot of medical professionals had never heard of it. That's what's really interesting is I meet a lot of people and I tell them, I mean, you can't expect doctors to know every condition. So it's really cool when you have an opportunity to teach somebody who's already in that field. That feels pretty cool. But they brought it up because they were like, hey, kids in the 80s, their bullying tactics were not as smart as they are now. And so we were wondering if it would be okay with you if the motivation behind being bullied happened to be because of your teeth situation. I'm like, it's my life already. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I didn't mind at all. It's whatever's going to be realistic. And yeah. I've always felt pretty confident about it. Nothing to hide. Not like I can hide it. So
were you bullied by about it?
Not as much, because I learned to flip the script on it a little bit.
Mm.
I don't think that kids initially, because the big push when we were growing up is to love everybody and be kind to everybody despite physical differences, and that was like a big push. And even though like kids are a little bit weird about it, I think for the most part that we're more aware about making sure that people feel loved by each other now than we were a long time ago. So that, thankfully, I was in a better time for it.
By the way, as two people who grew up in that, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
There's a sensitivity now that wasn't around. Like back then, it could be ruthless.
Oh, sure.
We said whatever we wanted to say.
And bullying's a lot less physical now. But the thing is, there's kind of it's a lot different now because there's less accountability with bullying. It's a lot easier to bully people now than it was back then because back then you kind of had to just do it right to somebody's face.
Yeah,
and if you got clocked, you got clocked.
That's right.
So now it's just you don't even have to have your name on it. You can say the worst things humanly imaginable.
That's true. And never own it.
And then never really have to answer for it.
And even when they get caught, it gets lost in context. You could just claim it does get lost in context.
Yeah, for the most part.
Stranger Things going into another season's coming.
Yeah.
I've seen them. And so another season's coming. What new can we expect? I'm not telling you to give us any.
Sure.
He's telling you to give us a little soup.
What new can we expect? Because I felt like it came to a logical end.
Yeah, it did. It came to a really cool weird conclusion. What I think was really cool about the last season is that going into it, there were a lot of loose ends.
Mm-hmm.
And a good portion of them were not necessarily tied up, but I think they were like tied to each other and have kind of created new alleys and new directions for us to go to that can kind of streamline and feel centered again.
Yeah.
Which is really, really great. So we can kind of push forward in a really cool, exciting way. I don't know what they have in store for the most part.
Yeah.
I haven't read much. And I don't know if they've written much just yet. I'm not too sure.
We just know it's coming.
Well, I know I'm filming it.
We figured out 11. It was like, all right, now I get it. But what happens
exactly
next?
That backstory is now. We know more about that backstory. We know more about. I mean, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't seen up to season 4 yet. But
BT.
we've figured out the lost.
Hey, who's that guy? Who doesn't know anything about the show except that it's amazing and well received by everybody around the world.
Thanks. Yeah,
that show.
It's pretty fun. Sure, that one. But we know a lot about the backstory that we didn't. So what's interesting is now that we know what has happened, we can just focus on what's going to happen.
Yeah, I got you.
Which I think is really, really fun.
Yeah,
I'm stoked for it.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, I was with you. And so, we're excited you came in.
Yeah,
you're a big sports fan.
Thanks. I'm stoked to be here.
There was a connection.
Oh, I will.
Your dad.
I hope he's listening, right? I'm sure he's listening right now.
It's Joe's Bake Shop, right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And what's the town? It's in
Tuckerton, New Jersey.
Tuckerton, New Jersey. Joe's Bake Shop. They hooked us up. These cookies are ridiculous.
Pistachio chocolate
chips. Oh, the stuffed ones. So those are the stuffed cookies.
Ridiculously large. I have like 16 over here.
Those are like,
I gave you one. I had like 16.
The really big ones are the stuffed cookies. Yeah. And the best way to do it is to cut it in half and heat it up in the microwave for like 10 to 15 seconds.
What is it stuffed with?
Bro, that's happening.
It like depends on the cookie.
That's happening.
So that's the cookies
happening
and cream one. That's got it. Yeah, it's stuffed with like cookies and cream. I think the pistachio one might have Nutella in it. I'm not too sure.
No, I mean, I ate half of it. I can't even tell.
The blueberry crumble is my favorite, though, the one that you got over there.
All right, so the L'Enfant Theater, which is on West 46th Street, next the 26th, so next Saturday? Next Sunday.
Yeah, we open next
Sunday.
Next Sunday,
Sweeney Todd.
We're doing performances all throughout this week, and we open next Sunday. Please see it.
Yeah,
we're stoked.
Definitely.
You know people are coming to see you, and we hope that whether it's the physicality that's been a little up and down with the Rangers or the goaltending, we hope that that's there for you. We hope your Mets stay healthy.
Me too. Man. We're going for a pretty good push. We got some good people in the trade deadline.
Yes, you're always going to win the cup.
You're
going to win the cup.
I hope so.
Boomer, right?
It's really when you have a team like this and you have our top six is just stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid good. And of course, our goaltending's, I mean, not as insane as it was last year, but it's consistently good.
Yeah.
But look at Boston. Boston's scary.
They're good, boy.
They're good.
But they're Boston.
Kate, really great to meet you.
Nice to meet you guys.
He's a terrific local product who's made it huge and has remained humble, which is really good to say. It's a credit to your parents, your mom and dad. Yep, they say, I could tell. All right, we got a timeout. We got an update from Bogish. We'll get a couple of pictures with Gaten. Tiki's going to geek out in a minute. He's going to hit him with some other questions. He's going to get the real script, and then I'll tell you what's coming up on the show. That's what's going to happen. Tiki will tell me. Gaten will tell Tiki during the break. Tiki will tell me, and I'll tell you. God will tell you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.